Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, wonderful. All right, you can be seated. Cool. Thanks, band. Hey, hey. All right, I think we're good to go, aren't we? Cool. So let's do it. Proverbs 23, verse 7. We'll just augment a little bit. But listen, let me talk to you as a like a family, which is what church is. Because sometimes we get so kind of, we get a bit regimented, we get a bit religious, you know, and it's like, oh, the sound desk thing didn't work for whatever reason. And everyone's thinking like, well, he's going to preach now, and gee, well, he's not preaching now, so will he preach shorter? What's going to happen? And we need to view our life with God a little bit different to that. Because it's actually not, you know, I preach to you till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I know that it's helpful to hear the word of God. I understand that. But, you know, it's like it's not a show. It's not a professional, I mean, it should be professional in that sense, you know, excellence is important. But you got to trust that there's a God on the throne who's got his hand on things. And sometimes what happens when you don't expect it is more beneficial than if we had gone the way we did expect it. Because God's really interested in us as people. He wants to help you live an incredible life. That's kind of where I started. I want you to live this whole life. You see, we're doing this series, right, which is called How to Reach, or Revealing How to Reach Our People. And we've been going for about 5 weeks, and I'll probably go for another five maybe, because the subject matter within that adjusts quite a bit. My thrust, my heartbeat, is that we are, one of our greatest callings, really the greatest thing we have to do, other than to worship God and to be God's people to grow together, but is to reach the community that we're in. And that means your neighbours and the people you work with, not just handing out leaflets on at Staines on Sunday, but our whole life. And I know this, see, I know that God's entrusted that entire responsibility to us. And I know this, that most Christians are either unconfident, afraid, awkward about how to deal with that, how to be as effective as they could be with that. And what's happened in churches, I've been in church for a very long time, decades, and what's happened often is then in our sincerity to reach people with the gospel, we kind of push ourselves in a way like, I must do this and I must do that, and we end up often, out of sincerity, doing things almost out of a constraint, almost out of a pressure, and you end up with a kind of religious style of Christianity. And that tends to divide things, because you get the people that are going to handle the pressure and they're going to do what they got to do, and God wants us to go and witness and talk. You get that, and then you get the other people in the church who are Christians, who just not so, quite so dedicated maybe not quite so confident, maybe whatever they've gone through. And they will tend to shy away from that because that doesn't work for them, that kind of... Do you know what I'm saying? And so what... Do you know what I'm saying? Yes? And so what I'm working on, and I'm doing this in a far more kind of chat style, if you like. I mean, I can preach if you've been around a little while. I'm happy to preach, but I'm going to do what I think is going to help the people the most. You see, so what we want to do is be whole as the people we're called to be. God wants you whole. We looked at that scripture. Are you in Proverbs 23? Some of you might be there. All right. Jam, you've got all these. Actually, we'll come to it later on. We'll come to it later on because we'll have to adjust a little. But Romans 10, 9 and 10. I told you that last week. You remember that? Romans 10, 10. Everyone say Romans 10, 10. It's like the 10, 10 verse. It's a great verse. And it says that with the heart we believe to justification, and with the mouth confession we speak to salvation. Everyone say salvation. And that word salvation means? It's soteria in the Greek, and it means wholeness. It doesn't mean I'm going to heaven when I die. See, that's what we all thought. We all thought, well, and confession to me, and now I'm right with God. Yes, you are. And now salvation, I'm saved. What's the difference between being right with God and being saved? In most Christians' minds, they think it's a different way of saying the same thing. It's a different word completely in the Greek. The word saved means preserved from danger. The word saved, soteria, means healthy, whole, health, sick, like unsick, healthy, healthy in your lifestyle. Confession is made to that. We've got that verse we might get to. And so what we've missed is this level of wholeness that God wants his people to have. And here's my conviction. See, we're here for the long term. I'm here to try and train and equip and teach and love and impart and do everything I can to get us, our body, and all the people that God will join with us and however that works, as whole as we can, so that us talking to people about Jesus, connecting with people, reaching people, comes naturally and happily out of who we are instead of this pressure that we're supposed to be this certain way that we feel awkward being. How many understand what I'm saying? Okay, so now then we go to this, okay, because that's what I'm talking about. Proverbs, it's 23 verse 7, stop thinking and start living. Because here's the other thing, here's one of the biggest problems that's facing wholeness today, if you're not aware of it, is mental illness and depression. That's been on the rise. The amount of money our nation spends at the NHS on antidepressants and other mental health related issues is astronomical. And it's increasing. In fact, they expect, by the World Health Organization expects that by 2020, this will be the biggest health problem. I'm just trying to get the right words that they used now in our Western society is mental health and depression. Now, I've been through some of those kind of things myself, and I've studied and learnt from both professional people and interested, you know, but people that are both believers and experts in that kind of area. And what they've found recently is that one of the highest indicators, you know, you have indicators that indicate you could be going in that direction or struggling with that, with one of the highest indicators for people that are going to struggle with that is that they mull over things all the time and repeat to the, in their own mind something that went wrong. That's a major indicator. So that, I'm bringing that all back to this, okay, now, here we go. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Say it with me. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. This is a great verse. It's out of the book of Proverbs. And what it means is, the way you think in your heart, that's how you are. If you're a naturally, they'll say naturally, very confident, relaxed person, well, that's how you think in your heart. That's why you're that way. If you're a little bit timid, a little bit fearful of certain things, that's because you think in your heart that way. If you're antagonistic, if you tend to argue a lot with people, you have difficulty getting on with people, that's because you think in your heart that way. And so we do a lot of behavior modification these days in the world, but really what we got to deal with is the heart. Are you with me? And now this heart word here in the Hebrew is nephesh. Everyone say nephesh. It's the best way I know to say it anyway. And it means that which breathes. It means your soul, your inner being, your seat. This is a good interpretation. The seat of your emotions, passions, and appetites. So that word that's translated hundreds of times in the Old Testament, it's translated heart here this time. It's only translated heart 15 times. It's translated soul 475 times. It's translated life about 100 and something times. So heart or mind is not a good understanding of that. It's not talking about your mind. It's talking about the seat of your emotions and your passions, your inward person. There's a way we tend to react to certain things innately, if you like. That's how you think in your heart. And you're almost, most of the time, you're not even conscious of it. Are you with me? Let's go to the next slide here and just get through as much as we can today, because this is the summary of our life here. Are you ready? I'm not going to preach on this. I'm just going to work you through it. It's great. Jesus has sent you into the world. Did you know that? That's John 17. Everyone say, Jesus has sent me into the world. Point two, he's got an incredible plan for your life. I mean, unbelievable. That he designed, stay with me here, pay attention. He designed a plan, a purpose, amazing people, incredible events before you were created. Before you were created, he thought, I'd like an Anderson a ghetto. He didn't have one, but he thought, and when he comes to the earth, this is the things that are going to happen. And he did that for every one of us. That's in the Bible. Our joy, the greatest joy in your life is going to be fulfilling, discovering what you were made for. Are you with me? And God wants you to... Are you with me there, church? Yeah, okay. And God wants you to find that out, discover that. That's why, hello, Colossians chapter 1, the prayer in the New Testament, when Paul prays for the church, what does he pray? The first thing he prays, he says, that I'm praying for you that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In other words, it's not just mentally accessed. There's a wisdom, there's a spirit that unveils the knowledge of his will. When people that are Christians are unhappy, or they're bored, or they're frustrated, or they feel pulled too excessively to do the wrong thing all the time, something's wrong with the click in the will of God. When you're in the will of God, it doesn't roll like that. Are you with me? So we've got this plan, and the joy is in fulfilling the plan. Now get this, we are sent into the world with his spirit and power. You've been sent into the world with his spirit and in power, with his glory already on your life, with his authority, the devil's been defeated, and with his message. And the message is reconciliation, which means be friends again with God. You've been sent by God. Everyone say it again, because it's point four. He has sent you. Say, he has sent me. So whatever job you do, student, nurse, teacher, temporarily out of work, accountant, business, whatever you do, part-time, full-time, sales, different things that we do, physiotherapies, we have therapists, whatever you do, that's a provision from God for your life. But the number one thing is that he sent you into that world. Adjust the way you think about it. See, a lot of us think, oh my goodness, how am I going to pay the bills this job? No, God sent you there. And if you're not happy there, maybe you should be somewhere else. That's a different question. But the point is, we often think of our lives so temporally, so earthly. Well, I've got to pay these bills, I've got to have this job. And that's there is that side of life, for sure. But the point is, God's telling you he sent you, and he sent you with his glory, and he sent you with his power. So wherever you go, and whoever you mix with, and whoever you hang with, and whoever you touch this week, and whatever situation you're in, you've been sent by God there. Get that in your thinking. And then, see, that's the base from which I wanted to spend, and I've got about 10 minutes with you now, to talk about your wholeness, because the more whole you become, the more happy, well-rounded, balanced you become, the more you are confident in being who you are in that situation that you're in. The devil would love you to think it's really tricky. It's not tricky at all. It's really simple to love God and live for God. It's really amazing to be on fire for God. It's the best life of all. The devil's a liar. He'll try and put a thought, oh, yes, well, no. I tell you, walking with God, serving God, when I get up there on that keyboard there and Grace is next to me, Grace is going to be 18 soon. 17, serving God, looking gorgeous, playing keyboards, and Jamela's down there. You're 16, 15, 17, 18. I don't know. When are you 18, darling? Okay, so she's older, yeah. I thought she was older. There she is, getting in there early, putting all these notes. And I think the most awesome thing, Anderson's back there drumming, counting us in, keeping us in time, keeping an eye on everybody, correcting us when we make a little mistake. And you see these guys, and I think, man, that is life. These people, the world will tell you, Your schoolmates, your friends, they'll tell, oh, yeah, they're a Christian. No, they've hooked up with God for the most awesome ride of their life. And you've got to get your thinking changed when it comes to that. Amen. So, he sent you. Let's look at this then. Romans 10:10, here's the verse I told you. It's with your heart you believe and are justified, just so you can see it for yourself. It's with your mouth that you confess and are made whole, healthy, safe, and delivered from trouble. I'll read it to you again. Because it's with your heart that you believe and you're justified. You believe in your heart. Your heart is your believing machine. And then with your mouth you confess. You say, God's with me. And you've got to be a talker. You've got to be a talker. Because your words direct your life. So you've got to start saying, I'm made whole. I'm healthy. I'm safe. I'm delivered from trouble. It doesn't mean you don't go through trouble. It means you get delivered out of trouble. Daniel was in the lion's den. You think God was with Daniel? Daniel was one of the most remarkable men of history. Daniel was astounding. He was never a minister. He's not like the man of God. He was a highly intelligent young guy who would not bow to the evil of the time. But they had chosen him because of his remarkable spirit, his remarkable attitude. He had this incredible... And then, with all that, he lived, he grew, he lived for God. And God, he was like a chosen person of God. He prophesied things into the future. He's awesome. But then he gets thrown, because he will not bow, they're going to throw him into the den of lions. And in he went, and maybe you feel like you're in a bit of a den of lions. Maybe your emotions make you feel like this is just these emotional lions that are trying to eat me. Maybe it's the lack of finance that's just yelling at you, you can't do this, just emotion, that those finances are trying to eat you. Maybe it's a lack of purpose. Maybe it's a lack of friends. The deal is that we go through stuff, but God is with us and he delivers us. And that's what happened to Daniel. What happens too often, guys, is that we as Christians go through stuff and then we collapse and we think, oh no, what's happened? But God was always going to deliver us, except the devil would love you to think that this time the problem's too big for God, you know. God just can't handle this one. And so he'll try and convince you of that in your mind, and then you'll start believing that in your heart, and then you'll start saying, oh no, I'm in trouble, and then your mouth will start talking the wrong way, and you'll start to go in the direction you don't want to go. The key issue is what's in your heart. All right, let's go to this next thing. I've got a couple of situations for you. You ready? Situation one, put yourself in this picture. Here we go. This is you. Put yourself in this picture. Situation one, you're going for a job. Could be part-time, could be full-time. And they phone you. Or they in the interview and they say, I'm sorry, but you didn't get the job. How are you going to react? Let's have a look at our options here. I see you've written first there. So go with first. This is how we think. See that? The guy on the right. Let's look at the guy on the right. What's wrong with me? How do we react? Put yourself there. You didn't get the job. Last time you went for a job and you didn't get one. How did you react? What's wrong with me? Why don't I get a break? How will I pay my bills? Or you can react on the guy on the left. No problem. Everyone say, no problem. God will have something better. I can't wait to go out and get it. Now, there are two different reactions to exactly the same news. I'm talking about wholeness. I'm trying to be as practical as I can. I'm talking about as a man thinks in his heart. How people respond. Now, see, what happens a lot in churches is I'll stand here and like train you or teach you like this or preach like this. And then when I ask you, how are you going to react? And how are you going to react when this happens, when they say you haven't got a job, and you'll all say, we will say, no problem, right? And we can all do that. But what happens when it's Wednesday and the bills are due on Thursday, and I'm not there, and you're not sitting next to some other Christian you're trying to look really well-behaved and impressive in front of, and then the news comes. What happens is, you see, I'm trying to get you to learn a different way. It's not just about what's in your head. It's adjusting what's in your heart. Because as a person thinks in their heart, in their soul, in their inner being, you've got to take ownership, stay with me here, of how you respond. It's really important to understand that. See, you learnt to respond a certain way. When you were born, a tiny little baby, 1 minute old, you'd had no sense experience at all, except what you had in the womb. You hadn't learned most everything you learn on this planet, you learn through your five senses. And you learn to respond that way, and so it'll be touch and your listening. And you might have been in a home environment where you saw cruelty or you heard negative words, it's very common. And those things create an image inside you that you learnt, and now you react out of that image. And somebody says, sorry, you didn't get the job. And we all, here's the thing, you see, we all think when I teach like this, the danger is people will say, oh, I'm supposed to react like that. I'm supposed to say no problem. But really, I'm really pretty ticked off about it because I thought I was the best applicant. You with me?
Yep.
And that's okay. That's all right, because we all do that to some degree at some point in life, because we haven't all got the wholeness that God has for us. But the point is, we have to own where we're at right now and own that we learnt that somewhere along the way and that we can relearn a better way. Are you with me? A lot of Christians pray this way. They pray, oh, God, do this for me. God, help me to clear my desk. God, would you clear my desk? I was in a prayer meeting recently when somebody prayed that. Beautiful people, sincere. But I just thought to myself, what I know of God, he's not going to come and clear your desk. He's going to expect you to clear your desk. The Bible says, renew your mind. I hear people pray this a lot. God, can you renew our minds for us? And he'll say, I love you, but I can't do that. Because he's given you more power than you realize. And nobody told us. So we live in this kind of, oh, well, if God does this, God made you like himself. God made you to rule in this earth. God made you to have authority. He gave you authority already. You're designing your own life. What happens in your life will be the responsibility of the choices you made. And if it weren't that way, then how could God possibly judge you at the end of life for your life if you weren't responsible for creating it? You remember the guy with the one talent and the guy with the two talents and the guy with the five talents? And what they chose to do with it, and God judged them accordingly. Chris Brown gave us a great message on that just a few weeks ago. You'll remember that. And so because that's the case, the reality is that, yes, God has a will and a purpose, but we're responsible to make the choices to get us in that will. And that means if we're choosing out of our internal being, out of how our soul or our life on the inside, our seat of our emotions, then we need to own that that's been learnt and that we can relearn some things. Are you still with me? I've got a couple of minutes to go. Let's look at situation number two. Put yourself in this situation. I'd like to be friends, but I'm not interested romantically. Anyone been there? I was there. Mate, when I was single, I was always the one that they broke it off with me. I was. It would last about 6 weeks, you know, and I was hopeless and thinking I was in love, not knowing anything much about anything. And the girl would always say, well, I don't think we should. And I went through all this kind of stuff. How do you respond? Seriously, these are real issues, especially if you really like the person. How are you going to respond? You can do it this way. This always happens to me. Heard yourself say it? I can't take this rejection. I hate you. I hate men. That's where it comes from, the I hate men thing. I'm going to feel sorry now. See, we think, oh, I'm just a depressed person. No, you made a choice. I'm going to feel sorry now. I'm going to go and drink too much now. You made a choice. Why? Because you were hurt. Why? Because you responded that way out of what's inside you. I'm never going to talk to a man again. And that's where all the problems start. And some of us, you see, we've lived like that cyclically. There's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with my looks. I need to pray more. No, no, no. You need to respond differently to what happens. Are you with me? Number two, here's better. God is working everything together for good. Now, he either is or he isn't. It's Romans 8:28 that says, for those who love God, anyone love God here? That's why I encourage you to love God, and you're called according to his purpose. That's you. Then God is working all things together for good. Stay in that called according to his purpose. Stay focused on his purpose. If you go out into a zone where this is what I want to do and I'm not really that fussed about whether God wants to do it, and I'll give him a token thing, but at the end of the day, I'm not on my knees saying, God, I just want to make sure I'm doing what you want me to do. Well, then you take yourself out of that zone. But if the prayer of your heart, the sincerity of your heart is, God, I want to do it, then you're inside that Romans 8:28 zone, and then God's working. I'm telling you, there are plenty of fish in the sea and plenty of sharks as well. Isn't that right, William? Yeah, that's the truth, I'm telling you. And so God's working it together. There is the right person out there. And in the meantime, don't be in a hurry. Enjoy your life. All the single people think they're just going to be perfectly happy when they find the right person. They do. And all the married people realize there's no such thing as a perfect person. And if you're not careful, some of the married people start being jealous of some of the single people. You want to watch that one? Come on now. You think your happiness is in your circumstances. It isn't. You think if you could just win £1 million, it would solve your problems. It won't. Where you're living is the condition of your heart, as a man thinks in his heart. And if you don't change that, and you win £1 million, you'll lose £1 million and you'll be extra miserable, because not only have you been miserable most of the time, now you've gone and lost £1 million. Are you with me? If I could just have a holiday, oh, a month's holiday in Tahiti, oh, I'd be so happy. It'd be a lovely idea. But you'll come back after a month, and about 2 days after you're back, you'll start saying, I just want to be back there. You're just lazy. Why don't you admit it? I trot on some toes. I don't mind if you have a good holiday. Are you with me? Are you with me? I don't mind. But don't think let's be alert. Yeah, we got one more and then we got to close. Come on. Number three. I'm not too excited about you leaving your shoes there. That could be a husband to a wife to a husband, parents to children. How are you going to respond? You walk in, you put your shoes somewhere. I'm not too excited. Watch my tone now. I'm not too excited about you leaving your shoes there. Let's have a look. How are we going to respond? You leave stuff around. Ever said that? Never. It's never occurred to you, has it? They're not in the way there. They're not in the way. I was about to... Oh, that should say move. That's my writing. I was about to move them. I was just about to move them. You're always complaining. All you see is the things I haven't done. Are you with me? All those things on the left, they're all defeating you. We laugh because it's so common. See, we become Christians. We come to Jesus. We become new creatures. But that doesn't make you whole. That makes you right with God. That makes you, let me use the terms correctly. That makes you in right relationship with God. But it doesn't automatically mean that your responses to people are what they should be, that they're necessarily Christ-like, that they're necessarily beneficial. And a lot of times, listen to me well because I'm nearly done, a lot of times we think that we have to change our actions to be more like Jesus, you know? That's a very common kind. Well, look, Jesus wouldn't do that. And it's almost like, Jesus wouldn't have lost his temper there, and you start whipping yourself because you weren't like Jesus. And the point is that it's not actually your self-effort in that sense. It's changing the inside of you. It's allowing him to have his way, and it's changing the way you think about things. Here's a much more positive way to look at it. I'm not too happy with you leaving your shoes there. Evidently, they would prefer my shoes left somewhere else. Is that a lot to ask? Really? Sure. Where's a good spot to leave them? Doesn't that diffuse the whole thing? Now, you could be a Christian and it would make no difference to the way you automatically respond to these things. This is my point today. Are you with me? See, we make a mistake. We think, I got saved, I'm going to be automatically like Jesus. And if I'm not, I'm just going to ask Jesus, make me like him. There's a sincerity in that that's healthy. But there's a lack of awareness of the fact that I'm actually responsible for my own life. I learnt to respond that way, and I can learn to respond a different way. And here's the simplest thing and maybe the most powerful thing. If you respond and in one of those negative ways, just own up and say, whoops. Whoops, sorry. Say it to yourself, say it to whoever you're dealing with, whoops, I should have. And if you're the person and they say, whoops, I'm sorry, then let it go. But these are the things that help us to function in a whole way. If you walked into a house and lived in a life, a family, like we're trying to create here, a culture of honor, if you like, of the high respect for other people's values and what other people think, if we develop a culture like that, it becomes a very pleasant place to live. And there's a wholeness that comes with that. That's why God wants the church to meet together. That's why God wants you to put your roots down into the house of God, into the people of God, because we learn to do life together. It's not just a lesson that I teach you on Sunday. It's a life that we live from Monday to Saturday, and when we catch up and we say, yeah, and we start to put it into practice, and we talked about how that worked. And when the more whole you are on the inside, the more you reaching other people, talking to other people, sharing your life with other people, it becomes natural, and there's not this sense of pressure about it. And you realize this, that you're responsible for your own life. You're designing your life. You can change or not change. It's up to you. You can give or not give. It's up to you. You can go and tell other people about Jesus or not. It's up to you. You can make a decision to become more whole, to flow in with what God's will is or not. It's up to you. And that's both scary and empowering all at the same time. But we need to realize it. Because when we get to the end of our lives, we're going to stand before God, and I want your life to be full of good works. I want you to have a baggage of great stuff that you're coming in with, and all the angels around you rejoicing because we did all this great stuff on earth. I don't want you to get in there and say, well, Jesus says, yeah, well, I know you, but you haven't got any works with you, but you can come in anyway. Because that's eternity. You see, and when that happens, that we'll realize that was the choices we made. That was the choices we made each day. And we can choose. It's an awesome thing. But it doesn't work. We just praying is so powerful. I love praying, but there are some things you just have to choose to do. Can I pray for you today? Has that helped you a little bit today? Father, we love you. I mean, I love you so much, Lord, and I'm very thankful for this church. And I thank you that your hand's upon us. And even as we went through our little adjustment with the sound desk and all that, you're just with us. We had a chance to be in your presence. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for the beautiful people that are here today. And my prayer is this, that you would help and remind every one of us as we go through this week, speak to our heart so that we hear your voice saying, yeah, you can make an adjustment here. And that it not come out of condemnation, but out of a joy that we can relearn how we respond, that you want us to be whole, and that out of wholeness will come a great fruitful life, an incredible life that you planned for us all along. I pray that you would help us to be filled with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said, hey, wonderful. God bless you. Thank you.